mean that they don't believe in God or something like that. But tomorrow is this time in which many people play a prank on somebody, a joke on somebody. Let's just be honest in here, okay? Can we do that? Can we be honest? How many of you do something like that on April 1st? You do something, you do an April Fool's joke on somebody. Come on, be honest. Be honest. Some of you, I have. You did one on me. Yep. Yeah, we were painting in here. And he said he had spilled a whole gallon of paint all over the carpet in here. And I thought he was serious. And it was an April Fool's joke. But anyway, we do things like that, right? Sometimes. I mean, we have down. And maybe you don't do it all the time, every year. But there are people. There are people that actually look forward to this day, tomorrow, and will do all kinds of weird pranks. We're going to get into that. The title of the message is very simple. Don't be fooled. All right? Don't be fooled. Let's stand together and read the entire Psalm 14. I'm going to give you three things here today. We're going to meet three fools in the Bible. And I hope and pray that you're not any one of those fools. But we're going to meet three fools in the Bible today on the eve of April 1st, 2019, as so many people refer to it as April Fools. I don't look at it as a holiday. It's not a holiday, but people view it as such, and they actually look forward to it. It's a lot like Halloween. Halloween is not a holiday. It's an ungodly day. And even April Fools could be considered an ungodly day. But people, you know, do what they're going to do. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Do you know that God does not believe in atheists? Just think about that for a minute. God does not believe. Now, atheists believe there is no God. But God doesn't believe in atheists either. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Father, bless the message. We ask that you would work mightily upon us. Lord, as we just read, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We know differently today. We have all the evidence that there is a God. And Lord, we know who that God is. It's you. You're our Father. We can call you Abba, Father. We are part of your family. The greatest family in the universe is the family of God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe the Holy Spirit was given when Christ left this earth. Lord, we are so blessed today to have God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit working in each and every one of our lives and hearts. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts today through this message. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see some truths from your word as to what the Bible calls a fool. And so, Lord, we just thank you and praise you again for your word. We pray that you bless it now as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Don't be fooled by what the world is trying to tell you. Don't be fooled by what somebody else is trying to tell you. For pranksters and mischievous older siblings all around the world, April Fool's Day, or All Fool's Day, is as eagerly anticipated as Christmas for some. What other holiday encourages you to think elaborate hoaxes, swap your spouse's keys, or trick your friend into thinking their car got towed? But how did this odd prank-centric holiday come to celebrate in the first place, and why is it called April Fool's Day? Uncertain beginnings from the History Channel, I was able to get some of this information. Although April Fool's Day also is called All Fool's Day, which I think it's appropriate for the Atheist's Day tomorrow. Amen? But again, when it goes on and it says this, has been celebrated for several centuries by different cultures. Its exact origins remain a mystery. Some historians speculate that April Fool's Day dates back to 1582 when France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar as called for by the Council of Trent in 1563. People who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize that the start of the new year had moved to January 1st and continued to celebrate it during the last week of March through April 1st became the butt of jokes and hoaxes. These pranks included having paper fish placed on their backs and being referred to as April Fish, said to symbolize a young, easily caught fish in a gullible person. Historians have also linked April Fool's Day to festivals such as Hilaria, which was celebrated in ancient Rome at the end of March and involved people dressing up in disguises. There's no speculation that April Fool's Day was tied to the, or there also is speculation that April Fool's Day was tied to the vernal equinox, or the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere when, and they put it, quotes, I don't refer to it, but Mother Nature, fooled people by changing and having unpredictable weather. April Fool's Day spread throughout Britain during the 18th century. In Scotland, the tradition became a two-day event, starting with the hunting of the gowk, in which people were sent on phony errands. Gowk is a word for the cuckoo bird, which is a symbol for the fool. So if you have a cuckoo bird, I don't know. And followed by Telly Day, which involved pranks played on people such as pinning fake tails or kick me signs on them. They did that to me in school. Remember the kick me sign they put on the back of your, you know, and then you'd walk down the hall and you had a kick me sign. Anybody have a kick me sign put on them when in school? I did. Yeah. Anybody else? Come on, raise your hand. Be honest. All right. Me, you two, you and I are the only ones that had kick.
I probably wanted to kick you.
You probably were. In modern times, people have gone to great lengths to celebrate or create elaborate April Fool's Day hoaxes. Newspapers, radio, television stations, websites have participated in the April 1st tradition of reporting outrageous fictional claims that have fooled their audiences. In 1957, the BBC reported that Swiss farmers were experiencing a record spaghetti crop and showed footage of people harvesting noodles from trees. You know, what gets me is people really believe that. In 1985, Sports Illustrated tricked many of its readers when it ran a made-up article about a rookie pitcher named Sid Finch who could throw a fastball over 168 miles an hour. In 1996, Taco Bell, you all know Taco Bell, duped people when it announced that it had agreed to purchase the Philadelphia's Liberty Bell and intend to rename it the Taco Liberty Bell. People believe that. In 1998, after Burger King advertised a left-handed Whopper, scores of clueless customers requested the fake sandwich. So walk in tomorrow and say, hey, I'd like a left-handed sandwich. These are all crazy things. And we laugh and we joke about it. But you know what the Bible says? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible defines a fool as one who says there's no God. We just read that. The Bible defines a fool as despises wisdom and instruction. They don't care about anything. The Bible defines a fool as an utter slanderer, despises their father's instruction, does not respond to discipline, has perverse lips, returns to his folly, trusts in his own heart, is full of words, speaks foolishly, and mocks at sin. That's just a little bit of what the Bible defines the person or what the Bible says about a fool. Webster says this about a fool. One destitute of reason or of the common powers of understanding. And then Webster says this, an idiot. That's Webster said that, not me. That's a quote from Webster. A fool is an idiot. So happy Idiot Day tomorrow to all you atheists. One who acts contrary to moral and religious wisdom. Webster also says that a fool is a wicked person in the Bible. So I'm glad that I'm not classified biblically as a fool. Now, if you're not saved, you can be classified as a fool. Remember, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I want to introduce you today to three fools that we're going to look at in the Bible. The first fool is found here in Psalms 14, verse 1, and that is the fool of stupidity. Write that down if you're going to take some notes here. The fool of stupidity. God has put, I believe, in the heart of man that there is a real God. Everybody has in their conscience. Now, the Bible says that your conscience can be seared with a hot iron, but God has placed in every conscience of man the desire to know that there is a God. And so man has that ability. Man that denies God is removing him or herself from the responsibility of obeying God. You push God out of your life so much, you're going to come to the point where you say, I don't have to obey God. I have no responsibility to God because I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in a God that demands obedience. I don't believe in a God that demands for my responsibility to God. That's the atheist view. There is no God. There is no religion. We can do what we want, pretty much. Sin tells man that there is no God. That is the heart of the issue, ladies and gentlemen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's because of sin that man has pushed God out. God nowhere in the Bible ever tries to prove himself. You know that? Genesis 1:1, we all know what the verse is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God. It does not attempt to prove who God is or what He did. He simply makes the statement, in the beginning, God. And what did God do in the beginning? He literally created everything that we see. So Genesis 1:1 is the opening verse of the Bible. Henry Morris says this about that unique verse, in that it is the foundation of foundations. One who really believes Genesis 1:1 will have no difficulty believing the rest of the Scriptures. How true that is. I believe Genesis 1:1. I believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Don't you? I hope you believe that today. You have no problem with the rest of the Bible, right? I have no problem with the rest of the Bible. None at all, because I believe the very first verse. That is the foundation of foundations. When man inserts anything other than the biblical account of creation, they are attempting to push aside or eliminate God from that creation. And that's what people are doing today. Do you know that the atheist movement is actually growing? Not just in America, but around the world. It is actually growing. It's becoming a fast-growing religion. They don't like to look at themselves as a religion, but it is. It's a set of beliefs. It's a set of beliefs outside of God. So pretty much, again, you can do whatever you want. There are several biblical examples. I'm going to try to, we're already getting low on time, but short on time. Go over to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at some examples of people who just kind of push God aside. And the Bible is full of them. We could spend the entire time here just talking about the different people, men and women, that pushed God aside and did what they wanted to do and didn't want to account to God. But let's look at some verses here. In Romans chapter 1, look at verse 21. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow, there's a pretty good picture of what's going on in the world today when people don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Let's just push God out and let's allow our lives to live it any old way we want to live. We want to live in sin, we can live in sin. Hey, after all, everybody else is doing it. The world is doing it. People in America, I have friends that are doing this, so it must be okay. Doesn't make it okay. It's still called sin. John chapter 3. Look at John 3. John chapter 3. John 3. Look at verse 19. John 3, 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Listen, when people claim to be atheists, you know what they're saying? They're saying they hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate anything to do with God. They hate the Word of God. They hate everything that has to do with God because they don't want to answer to a God that demands responsibility and a God of judgment.
Amen.
God is going to judge every one of us someday. You can say, I don't believe that. Doesn't change a thing.
Right.
You can say, I don't believe the Bible. Doesn't change a thing. You can say, I don't believe in God. Doesn't change a thing. Someday, every atheist, so-called, is going to believe in God.
Amen.
But it's going to be way too late. The moment they die and their soul goes to hell and that's where it's going to be for all eternity and then the lake of fire, they're going to realize there is a God. The rich man burning in Luke 16 knows all about God now. But it's too late. It's too late for him. Titus 1:16, I'll just read it for the sake of time. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient unto every good work, reprobate, is what it says. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. There's a picture of people that don't want to believe in God and believe in the Word of God as it is God's Word. Look at Revelation chapter 21. What a sad ending of somebody's life. Remember, we're talking about those that do not believe in God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. 21 verse 8. Chapter 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Unbelievers. Who are they? The atheists. People that didn't want to believe in God and His Word and the things of God. The unbelievers are going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So the first fool that we meet is the fool of stupidity. They don't believe in God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Let me introduce you to the next fool, and that is found in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Fools make a mock at sin. This is the fool of sin. The fool of sin. Fools make a mock at sin. They make fun of sin. They kind of try to okay sin. They say there's nothing wrong with sin. They mock it. You know how you define sin? Sin is breaking God's moral law. So sin is. It's breaking the law of God. It's missing the mark of moral purity. It's falling short of God's righteousness. That's what sin is all about. We have people today or churches today that don't dare talk about sin in their services. They don't dare preach about sin because they're going to drive people away because people don't want to hear about their sin today. Amen. A lot of people don't want to hear that they're sinners. But that the only way to be saved is to recognize the fact that you're a sinner. And that you are in need of a Savior. And so the term sin is really one of the most common Bible words describing the fallen condition of man. Why do people hate to talk about sin? Because they pretty much love their sin or they okay their sin. God never okays sin. Does God ever okay sin? Absolutely not. God never puts a stamp of approval on my sin or your sin or anybody's sin for that matter. I don't care how nice you are, how good you are, how good looking you are, how much money you have, all of your talents and all of the things that you can do. That has nothing to do with it. God never puts a stamp of approval on sin. Do you know that the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? We read that over there in the Psalm that we read in Psalm 14. It made it very clear in that particular... Oh, there goes my little postcard that I have put in a page. In Psalm 14, it says right there in verse 1, they are corrupt, they have done abominable, there is none that doeth good. There's none that doeth good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth. Not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Solomon recognized the fact that, hey, everybody's a sinner. And so when fools make a mock at sin, we meet the fool of sin that says, it's okay to live the way I'm living, or it's okay to do what I'm doing. It's okay to think the way I'm thinking. It's okay to eat what I'm eating. It's okay to drink what I'm drinking. It's okay to smoke what I'm smoking. It's okay to do whatever it is I want to do. Because it's my way. And I'm going to do it my way. It's my life. I'm going to do it my way. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. The Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Very simple. Every single person has sinned. Look at Romans 11, 32. Romans 11, in verse 32. Romans 11, 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy, I love those next two words, upon all. God has mercy upon anybody that comes to him. If you want to come to Jesus Christ and be saved today, he'll have mercy on you. You ignore him and you keep pushing him aside and you keep saying that your life is the way you're going to live and you don't care about your sin. Listen, someday you will answer to God. We're all going to answer to God someday. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at Galatians 3:22. Galatians 3:22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All under sin? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm trying to give you the Scripture on all of these things to show you what the Bible has to say about this. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1, 8. 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Don't go walking around thinking that you don't sin. Because we all sin. I sin, you sin, we all sin. Amen. Thank God for a Savior that forgives us of our sins. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Now, sin always demanded a penalty. For the wages of sin is what? Say it. Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin always demanded a penalty. The Garden of Eden, we don't have time to go over there and look at it, but you know exactly what it says. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned by eating that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, immediately there was something that was demanded of them. And God had to step in and supply a way to save their souls. He had to kill a lamb, or had to kill two lambs, or had to kill. He had to shed blood in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve because of their sin. It demanded a penalty. It demanded a payment. Sin has always been that way. And the wages of sin is death. Why does everybody die today? It's because of sin. I'd love to never, ever, ever die. And I'm hoping that the rapture will come in my lifetime so I don't have to go through that physical death process. Because I know that when I die, and I'm going to be up here in front, and everybody's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. Not you. Hallelujah, he's gone. Man has made extreme efforts to change the meaning or to rename sin to fit into their lifestyle. It's going on all the time. It's okay to live this way. It's okay to believe that way. It's okay to do this. It's okay to say this. It's okay to be... It's because what man tries to do, and even sometimes we Christians do it, we want to rename it. We want to say it's okay. It's not that bad. Well, I don't think what I'm doing is that bad. Well, ask God how bad it is. But we try to instill it or insert it into our lifestyle. And so what we do is we make excuse for it. We say that, I think it's okay. After all, Pastor Fenton's doing it, or this one's doing it, or some other Christian's doing it, or this one's doing it, or that one talks like that, or that one believes like that, or no, it doesn't make it right. If everybody in the world lived wrong, it doesn't mean that you have to live wrong. We need to take a stand for righteousness. We need to take a stand for Jesus Christ. If it's wrong, don't do it. If it's sinful, don't do it. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Boy, that cuts all of us. It gets me, gets you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17, 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. You say, well, I don't really know what unrighteousness is. This book will tell you. It's there. It's right there. Just either ask somebody that knows what the Bible says. You can come to and say, you know, is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to live like this? Is this lifestyle wrong? Well, let's open up the Bible and see what the Bible says. Not what I believe or how I feel about the thing. Let's see what the Bible says about it. But we have so many people today that don't want to do that. They don't want to see what the Bible... They don't want to hear what the Bible says. Because their mind is made up that they're going to do it, whether anybody believes it or anybody says it's okay, or they don't even care if God says it's wrong. And a lot of it is because of lust and just sinfulness. Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Wow. We think just murder and you know, adultery and robbery, you know, stealing, or we think, well, those are the big bad ones. Well, listen, God doesn't put levels on sin. They're all the same. So if you know that you should be doing something by faith and you don't do it, it's just as bad as anything else, folks. Don't try to categorize it. That's what we do. We do that. Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is... Man, that just got me. You ever have a foolish thought? About every day of your life? Yeah. See, those four verses I just gave you, James 4:17, 1 John 5:17, Romans 14:23, and Proverbs 24:9, gets us all the time. Yeah. It's me. You can try to mask it. You can try to make believe that it's not there. It doesn't change the fact that sin is real. Sin cost Jesus Christ His life. Sin cost Jesus Christ His blood. Sin costs something awful. We all know what it is. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything for the remission of sin, for the payment of sin. Because I can't save myself and you can't save yourself and I can't save you and you can't save me, but there is one that can.
Amen.
And He had to pour out His whole entire life on the cross. Do you realize what He went through on that cross? And you know why He went through what He went through on the cross? Because of your sin and my sin. Do you ever stop and think about it? Every time I read the Bible, I realize, you know, it was my fault that He was crucified. It was my fault that nailed Him to the cross. It was my sin that cost Him His life and His blood. It was me. It was you. It was I. It was us. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7 says. Boy, God's a good God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Aren't you glad that He purged our sins? Aren't you glad that He washed our sins away in His blood? Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it for you and you couldn't do it for me. The only way for man to receive eternal forgiveness for sin is personal faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Your good works will get you nowhere. Your good works will take you right to hell. That's where your good works will take you. And then the last fool I want us to look at real quick, we're almost done, so just hang in there, is found in Luke chapter 12. The fool of stupidity, the fool of sin, and then the last fool is the fool of selfishness. The fool of selfishness. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, Luke 12:13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, What did he say to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the fool of selfishness. Now God Almighty called this man a fool. God Almighty said, The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. God Almighty, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that fools make a mock at sin. And so this fool, the fool of the selfishness of this person, this man allowed his things to control his thoughts. This man allowed his things to control his entire life. He allowed the material to control his mind. He allowed the temporary to control his eternity. Think about this, folks. We see people today that allow the temporary to control their eternity. We allow the material things of this world to control our minds. Selfishness, again, is pride. It keeps countless people from enjoying the spiritual blessings that God has to offer them. Because we're hanging on to everything we have in this life. We want everything that we got. Please, give me the gusto of this life. I want everything I can get a hold of. And we're really missing out on the great blessings of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life is not of God, it's of the world. I paraphrase the end of that, but folks, you know what I'm trying to say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't serve God, can't serve your money. Can't serve God, can't serve your things, can't have all the goodies of life. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have some goodies in life. But don't let the goodies of life have you. That's the whole thing. You can have things. You can have a nice house. You can have a nice car. You can have a nice whatever. Fill in the blank. You can have it. God's not against that. But don't let those things become your God or your gods. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, listen to these next few words, is an enemy of God. When the world becomes your friend, God becomes your enemy. When God becomes your friend, the world becomes your enemy. See how that works? So who's your friend today? Who's your friend today? Think about it. Who's your friend? Really, who's your friend? Is God your friend? Praise the Lord. Doesn't mean you can't have things, but don't let those things be your friend. Don't let those things just take possession of you. God himself rebukes this rich man because that's all he was thinking about, is how he could have everything and just relax. Life is so good. I'll just sit back. I've got plenty of time to get saved. I've got plenty of time to make good decisions. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. He says, because I've got all the time in the world. And God himself says, you're a fool because tonight you're going to die, buddy. You're dying tonight. You're being required tonight. And then whose are those things going to be that you're just sitting around working for and constantly dreaming about and thinking about and doing such a hard work? Whose are those things going to be then? You're a fool. You're a fool to think that way. So we have the fool of stupidity, we have the fool of sin, and we have the fool of selfishness. I hope and pray there's nobody here that falls into one of those three fools. I hope you're not a fool of stupidity where you think, there's no God, there's no responsibility. There is a God that every one of us will answer to today. Don't allow the sin of the world to overcome your life and dictate to you how to live your life. You better learn to live your life according to this Bible. And don't be the fool of selfishness, allowing all the things of this world to take control of your life. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts through this invitation. If there's anybody here that's not truly born again, we pray that today would be their day of salvation. Speak to every